What you're saying, it's nice when I do that?
Yeah, it's nice that you push your farts out at all moments.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I try to.
Even when we're trying to be intimate or in the kitchen, when I'm in the bedroom, I can hear it in the next room.
Yeah, but you have to consider that I do it for you. So that's kind of special. That's kind of neat.
What part do I benefit from specifically?
Enjoying that somebody did something specifically just for you.
But I'm saying, is it the smell or the sound that I enjoy most? Would
it's
you
a
say?
Combo. Mm. It's like saying, do you like the way this food tastes? Do you like the texture? I like it all.
I thought it was really neat how post-coital, we're both bathing in each other's love and light and joy.
Mm-hmm.
And you farted.
Yeah, that's true. I did. But I also, I tried to give you a little kicky foot so you could see something that accompanied, wasn't just a fart. It was like, hey, look what I'm doing over here. I'm doing a
little acrobats.
Yeah.
That was special. I like that I had to light a match to get rid of the smell.
It is neat.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We have a big announcement. That's why we had to tag this on to the top of the show.
Hold on.
Big. All right, and that is that the mommies are ready to announce the next two cities that we're going to go to, and in these two cities, we are going to do the podcast live.
That's right.
That's right.
So you guys get to see how we do this magic live in front of a real audience.
In
your titties. You guys get to be a part of the action.
And we'll come out. We'll make, you know, there'll be jokes. There'll be jeans. But then there will be the podcast right in your face.
Will there be sound drops?
There will be.
Will there be fucking camps?
There will be camps.
There will be...
There might be a phone call or two from Top Dog. There might be Maria.
Right. Dirty and disgusting.
Maybe Brace. I don't know. We'll reach out. We'll make it awesome.
We might do some brown talk live.
Oh, there'll be all kinds of brown talk. Now just tell them where we're going.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
The great state of Tejas.
And the great cities of Houston.
Houston, that's right.
And Dallas.
And Dallas.
And Dallas. Houston and Dallas, you are the next two cities we are going to go to, and we're very excited. And let's see, we will be first in Houston, in, as some people say, Houston.
Is that how they say Houston?
That's what some people say.
I like Tejas. Yeah. You and I have driven through Tejas together. Driven through. And we stopped and we bought horns for the house. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
We bought a coat rack.
Mm-hmm.
We've had barbecue. We've had many good times in Tejas. And now we're going to meet our mommies there.
Yep.
I cannot freaking wait. So what venues are we doing, Jeans?
All right. We are doing... Oh, they put the, already put it wrong here.
Oh, snappers.
Jesus.
Come on, guys. Ah, jeez.
God damn it.
Look at Theo's hiding his bone. Don't look at him when he does this.
Dude.
What's wrong, Jeans?
Why?
What's wrong?
All right. Here's where we're going to be. August 16th, we'll be in Houston.
Houston.
At Fitzgerald's.
Okay.
And it's an 8 p.m. show. Just one ticket, general admission. Please, if you listen to the show and you want to be at this thing, please get your tickets now. Please get an extra ticket. Bring a friend. Support us so that we can come and do this all the time. We can come back to Houston next year.
Mm-hmm.
Get an extra ticket. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Bring your own mother.
Bring your own mom.
Bring your whole family.
We had people bringing their moms.
Yeah, of course.
Last time.
Of course. So
bring your buddies. Come out. Have a few drinks. Sit down. Listen to your favorite podcast being broadcast.
And then the very next day, the 17th, which is a Saturday, we'll be in Dallas at the Curtain Club on Main Street. So we're going to put the links on the site. The site will also, I will also put the links on my own site, TomSegura.com.
I'll put it on mine too.
There you go.
ChristinaComedy.com. And we'll be tweeting it.
Your Mom's House Podcast.com will definitely have them both. So that being said, we're very excited to come to Texas in August, the 16th and 17th. Please get tickets if you're in either city, and let's have fun. It'll be a great time.
I'm excited. I can't wait. Yeah. I like Tejas.
Tejas is a good time, Jeans. All right, well, we should let this show start, for crying out loud.
Okay. A lot of fun with Mo.
Yes. Mo's a great guy. He's a really funny guy. And I really enjoyed having him here. We'll have him again
soon. Yeah, I think you guys are going to like this.
All right. Bye, Jeans.
Bye, Meows.
Oh, what you doing?
All right.
There's a woman today that said that, remember? Was it the couch lady?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll see what you're doing.
Get your couch clean.
Okay, all right.
Where are you going to be, Buns, Ronnie?
All right. So right now, I am at the West Palm Beach Improv.
Oh, okay. Palm up in there.
You taught me to say differently, so I'm there July 5th through 7th.
There isn't that much easier.
It's much easier. July 5th through 7th.
5th, July 6th,
West Palm.
July 7th.
July 11th through 14th, I am at the Hartford Funny Bone in Hartford, Connecticut. And then I go to Toledo July 18 through 21. So I'm very excited to be doing all those in the great month of July. Where are you going to be?
Tour de force. All right, mommies. If you are in Chicago, come see me at the Chicago Improv July 11th through 14th in Schaumburg. That's actually in Schaumburg, let's be honest. July 18th through 21st, Columbus Funny Bone, Columbus, Ohio. And then July 27th, one night only at the Uptown Theater in Napa, California. And I just found out the lineup, it's so rad. It's me, Marilyn Rice Cub, who's been on the show.
Yes.
Lonnie Love, you know her from Chelsea Lately.
Okay,
all right. And Tammy Pescatelli. What the fuck? It's an all-girl lineup.
Yeah, man.
I love Tammy. Oh, I love all of them. And yeah. Tammy's, yeah, it's going to be a heavy hitter of chick comedy, so come see it. And what about you, mystery guest?
I'm going to make myself not a mystery anymore, because if I don't say who I am, these dates won't really mean anything.
That's pretty much.
Your name's going to be prominently displayed.
Yeah, they know.
It'll be displayed under the name Mo Mandel.
Who's that?
That's me.
Okay.
Mo Mystery Man Mandel from the Mystery Team movie with Ben Stiller. I will be at Stand Up Scottsdale the 3rd through the 6th. Of July, then I'll be at the San Francisco Punchline, 10th to the 13th of July, and then I will also be performing. I will be going on after Tom Segura at the Hartford Funny Bone.
Whoa!
Third time in 2 years, y'all. Making a real mark out there in Bumblefuck, Connecticut, 25th through the 28th. And I actually do enjoy myself there, so come check me out.
Yeah. Yeah, good times. All right.
Hartford's a great club.
It's a great club.
Yeah.
Gorgeous town.
Yeah.
Yes. I like that that you can walk over to that mall, that little mall.
Well, there's a 99-cent store in the mall, and then on the other side of the street from the mall, there's a $5 store. So you can see people who are doing shitty and people who are doing really shitty.
Wow. And then
that's the full spectrum of shitty. Right
there. You just imagine some guys going into the 99-cent store, sees a guy going to the $5 store, like, these rich motherfuckers.
Yeah, man, that's $4 more than that guy.
Right.
And the thing is that you stay at a place and there's a little mall, but then the shows are in the bigger mall. So you have two mall options. That's kind of nice.
You do have two mall options. That's when you know your comedy career is taken off. You have multiple malls so you can meander around aimlessly throughout the
day. I'm renting a car.
Are you going to rent a car?
That's a good idea.
To see what?
Just, you know what? Every once in a while now, we on the road, I say, fuck it. I'm sick of being stuck somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to rent the cheapest car they have this week, and I'm just going to not be stuck.
Well, see, I really respect the gumption that you're showing with that. My concern is that I will rent a car and then just still sit around lazy and depressed in my hotel room.
No, that's
now it's costing me $70 a day.
You will, but here's the difference. Instead of eating at the IHOP across the street, you're going to go to Whole Foods. You're going to find the Whole Foods in that place, and you're going to eat healthful.
Actually,
you're going to enjoy your life.
Every time that I've done car rental, I've Yelped whatever, like best breakfast in town, and I'll drive. Hey. I'll go 15 miles to have breakfast.
Yeah. It is amazing what, like when you're on the road, what you're willing to do. Like I had my birthday recently, and I was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, not a town with
Dr.
Grin's Fun Club
in the Bob.
In the Bob, yeah, one
this
of those
places. The shit.
It's one of those random Midwestern like complexes where like we got 72 bars inside.
Nice. Shout out to Stu. What's up, Stu?
Oh, Stu McAllister.
Yeah, was he your host? Did he host for you?
He's the best.
I did not have stack. I had this very small. I mean, it was as much of a. You can't look more like a leprechaun unless you're like actively seeking out that look for yourself. This guy was
really
hilarious. Yeah, yeah, it was amazing.
I like the scene in Grand Rapids. I really do. I like Grand Rapids.
I went to the zoo for my birthday. Oh. Me and the feature, and it was a foggy day. It was like 3 months ago, and we just walked around the zoo. And like, I had never been to like a small city zoo before. It's not the same thing.
What kind of
they're
wildlife?
Like? Here's the one cat.
That's the zoo. Yeah. Thank you for coming.
And there's like three chimpanzees that were sitting there like, what the fuck? Like, we couldn't have gotten shipped to even Detroit. They looked like they were having a hard time.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. That's what you do on your birthday.
That's what you do on your birthday. What do you say?
What was that? Was that me or you?
That's you.
My phone rumbled like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
I thought one of you farted right there, and you were like, "Is that me or you?" And I was like, "Damn, they really have been married for a long time."
That happens. We don't know our
farts from each other.
My aunt just told me she doesn't know when her farts.
Oh,
she says they just come out now. It's on the bonus episode.
That's right. If you haven't downloaded the bonus two-parter episode, Tommy's aunt
Blanca
discusses her farts and how they've changed over the years.
Yep, yep, and it was a whole thing. I mean, Charo was here. We brought up the the farts and here's Charo saying it right here about Blanca.
Blanca doesn't fart anymore. Have you noticed? No, Blanca has improved completely.
Yeah, and then Top Dog chimed in.
Well, I can tell you exactly what causes that kind of fart.
So there was a lot of fart talk on the bonus episode. By the way, thank you for everybody that got it. It's the masses have spoken. And it's that we like the bonus.
Unanimous decision.
Yeah, very big.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. More like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office and we have been saving so much money since switching over. And setting up a Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/mom. That's mintmobile.com/mom. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/mom. $45 upfront payment required equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Order your alcohol with DoorDash today and drink in the savings. Use code YMH24 to get 25% off, up to $15 value on a $35 minimum subtotal on your next alcohol order for eligible users only. The alcohol selection on DoorDash is top shelf. With thousands of stores all over the country, you're sure to find what you're looking for and more. Beer, wine, mixers, mocktails, and more can be delivered straight to your door. Save up to 25% off, up to $15 value when you spend $35 or more with code YMH24. So whether you're grabbing drinks for an event or staying in for the night, DoorDash is here to help you have a great evening any evening. Terms apply. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Delivery and promotions available only in select markets.
So, all right, let's start the show. What are we doing?
We haven't even done that.
No.
Sorry, Mo.
This is our pre-show show.
Pre-show show.
This is the pre-show show. I just burned all my best Grand Rapids Zoo material on the pre-show show.
Yeah, man.
I got my cue cards out for nothing and broke a sweat.
But you know what? People love the pre-show.
They do. Gosh.
Yep. Here we go.
Who knows?
Man.
Hey y'all, it's your favorite Facebooker, Diggy Bump Muncher, and today's topic is shit I don't like. And I have a whole list on it, so please sit down and take notes. Thing number one, girls that make stupid faces and poses for Facebook. First of all, if you are still doing the duck face in 2013, pipe the fuck down. Nobody likes that shit. Thing number two, if you are taking a picture in the mirror, please clean that shit off because nobody wants to see your nasty ass toothbrush fucking stains on the fucking mirror. Clean that shit off, bitch. Clean that shit off. Thing number three, if you are sitting on the ledge of your motherfucking sink like this saying, does this angle make my booty look big? No, bitch. If your booty isn't big, don't try and make that booty big. That only confuses niggas. And we all know that your booty is as flat as your chest. Pipe the fuck down.
This shit is big time!
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone loving to this.
Your mom in the fucking stand!
Welcome. Welcome to your mom's house. With Tom Segura. Tom Segura.
And Christina Pajitsky. Christina
Pajitsky. Welcome to your mom's house.
There you go. That's the big open for you, Mo.
I liked it.
Did you? What did you think? What did you say that girl looks like?
Yeah, describe that girl.
See her, yeah.
I think it's like a really pissed off 10-year-old who just sort of like squatting down the slide and just marking her territory. Like yeah. It's some sort of really shitty elementary school. Am I close? Am I close at all?
I mean, that's...
Yeah, what can you describe her characteristics physically?
I'm not going to describe a 10-year-old girl's physical characteristics.
You do? Okay. Beyond what I just
okay.
Did. You want
to...
Yeah.
That was
she's not 10. I'll tell you that. She's not 10.
Oh, okay. How old is she?
She's maybe 16.
I don't know. Maybe. Do yeah. Between 14 and 16. Yeah.
Okay. I meant emotionally.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Like she's
yeah.
behind the curve emotionally.
A little.
Yeah.
Could use a pick me up.
She could use to get up sometimes. She's rather large.
She's really fat. Here's the thing, because she says she drops the M-bomb. Paula Deen style, and you would think that she might be a black girl. She's not.
No, that's
she's not.
That's
she's a
terrifying.
Huge. She's a ginormous. She's a big
fat white girl.
Big fat white girl
likes to eat.
There you go.
This food tastes gooder than a bitch.
And she likes to eat food that tastes good.
Is she a personal friend of yours?
That yes. is her cousin.
That's my cousin.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. Because yeah. I listened before and I was like, how the fuck did they put out like a casting for that? Like, how did they get that?
That'd be great if we had a casting session for like just all these clips that we've played. Like,
dude, you could, I mean, it wouldn't be the weirdest. I saw a casting thing yesterday that like somehow got, like, you know, you sign up for casting networks and they send you things that fit your thing. And this one said, looking for a little person to cuddle with giant fluffy doll.
Oh.
Like, you should have to put like a not for porn thing after that because that's very leading.
That's what I assumed. I mean, what do they don't usually use LPs for much else? Seasonal work? Christmas?
Seasonal work? Oh, Christmas.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
And then pornography, right?
Yeah, we all know that's the time of year and they get all the fucking work.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so unfair.
It's ridiculous. Did you get the casting, that casting? It's like an email that's attached to some casting cert, like something that you're like, I don't even want to get this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know why I'm on that
casting
fucking thing.
Frontier.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, and it's like,
too.
And yesterday I was like, Tom, they're casting dwarves. Are you ready to submit?
No,
like,
this is what I'm fucking talking about.
Right, right.
But somehow I got the callback.
It's so. It's always like fat black woman. Are you ready to submit yourself? Like you're like, why do I get all of these?
Dude,
shouldn't they have
so
it?
I wrote this script right, and I was having my dad read it. Just like something I haven't gotten out with yet. You know, I was like, Dad, tell me what you're thinking. It was basically about like this guy, and he's described. You know, he's like the guy's a lead character. I wrote it for myself. You know, and my dad goes, I think it's really good. He goes, who do you think would play the lead guy? I'm like, well, it's you know something I wrote for myself. He goes without being an asshole. He goes. Oh, huh. I really like I was imagining like a really good looking guy playing that. And I was like, well, who did you think I was going to play? And he was like, I thought you'd play the character Barry. I'm like, this guy described as 43 and sweaty with like six kids and he's always running around. Like, what the fuck, Dad?
You made me, man.
I know.
He's like, and I made some mistakes along
the
way.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I know.
Can your dad, like, I'm just surprised that your dad can read a script like the way. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you can give a script to most people and they don't even know.
Most dads are like, oh, what's this?
You know, actually, my mom's brother was a unsuccessful screenplay writer, and I don't, he's still alive, but I don't think he's writing screenplays. So I think my dad had a lot of practice reading scripts.
Oh, wow.
Due to family obligation.
Oh, sure. Holy shit. So how did you get so good at it? Everybody talks about how good you are as a writer.
I don't know who talks about that.
Dude, what are you talking about?
Hello. Are you talking about that 16-year-old girl who's being on the slide like, that motherfucker good at writing.
I read one of most scripts. That shit was gooder than a bitch.
My Jewish friend write good scripts. No, I don't. I don't know whether I'm good or not, but I have written since I was a little kid. I actually wrote I always used to write short stories, and stuff. And then I did write one horrendous novel in college.
You did?
Called Midnight Delirium.
Wow.
How's that for some angsty, very college bullshit?
Sure, yeah, that's great.
It was like On the Road meets Fight Club.
So you actually published.
No, I did not publish it. I said I wrote it.
But but that's really ambitious.
That is ambitious. And that here's the thing about you that, I mean, I don't know you that well. But
yeah, I was thinking on the way down, I really don't know you very well. And Christina, I only got to know at...
In Austin.
And I've seen you do stand-up more, Christina, at the Comedy Store. But like Tom, I feel like, is like this guy that everyone knows is hilarious, but is roading it all the time. Like, I just don't see you around.
That's true.
And
not around.
And I was just thinking that. I was like, you know, that's funny because I do feel like I know you because I know your act and everything. And I know whenever we see each other, it's cool. But I'm like, huh, I don't fucking even know if this guy has a sibling.
And now you're here in the mommy dome.
And honestly, you know what? So far, not that impressed. Yeah. You know,
it's pretty accurate.
How dare
that's
you?
That's how most people feel. Dome. So you're pretty much.
So what were you going to say, though? I'm sorry.
People say that you're shit. And I was just going to say that, like, you know, you're a fucking dick. And that's what everybody says.
Well, that's more accurate than that.
No, everybody actually, they're like, you are a guy who I've heard multiple people say, oh, like, Mo is proactive. Like, you wrote yourself into this script. Like,
you're very successful.
You're a driven dude.
Driven. I like that.
I think
DIY.
I love writing. I've always really, really liked that.
That's great.
Kind of thing, you know? And
But you can like it and not be good at it, but you're good at it.
I think, yeah. I mean, I think if you really like doing something, I think you learn to get good at it, don't you? You know?
Sure.
I mean, actually, that's not 100% true. I loved baseball as a kid, and I practiced harder than anyone I knew, and I still batted 146 one year of high school baseball and then quit.
And you loved it.
I mean,
why'd you quit?
Because I just couldn't hit.
Really?
And then I was always like, that was like a really small kid. I was like 103 pounds as a freshman in high school. And
whoa.
I worked for hours every day on baseball. I would like go to the batting cages. I would like, you know, I'd get a tee and practice hitting the wiffle ball off a tee with like a really skinny bat. Like, I was as driven as Ryan Sandberg.
So, but know? See, it's translated into your career. You're like that.
That's
now.
True.
You're a fucking driven guy.
Yeah, I think I'm obsessive about whatever it is. Didn't translate into
baseball. Are you obsessive? Are you the kind that you feel guilty taking time off?
Oh, yeah. I have the hardest time.
Anxiety at night. Do you sleep at night? Oh, yeah. Do you not enjoy life?
No, I enjoy life. But, like, I mean, just in doing something for the sake of enjoying it, you know what I mean? I feel like I'm a happy person when I go through my like, regimented day. But it's definitely, like, I'm not like the kind of person where I'm like, oh, let's go to the beach for 3 days, you know?
Right, wow. You won't do that.
Are you always writing? You write all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think so. It's amazing I don't have more jokes at work considering that.
Are you writing your act or are you writing
I just sort of go
stuff?
Back to my Comedy Central half hour special from 3 years ago and refine those jokes.
Oh, God.
Add some new text.
Yeah.
Once Live at Gotham comes around and I redo my set from 08, it's going to be fucking amazing.
Monster.
Getting all the air out.
All right.
Yeah. Wait, so tell us this, though. As you're, are you a guy that, like, do you go, I have an idea for this, and you kind of like, do you board it out? Like, you do like outlines and you like fucking attack it? Is that how you do it?
You know, I didn't used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to do that and actually did not like what I worked on by doing that. And I've now gone back to my old approach, which is, and this is writing sitcom pilots.
Okay.
Like, I've written two features that are fucking horrible.
Okay.
I've never done any, tried to do anything with them. I get a few ideas for scenes. I write it out on a paper. Like, I try to beat out the idea for the thing, but then I don't really make too big of a deal of sticking to it. And I just sort of try to, I actually like the process of writing, so I will rewrite the same thing for like 2 months every single day.
Oh, wow.
Just because I'm obsessive and I feel like I get the meat of what it's about.
Okay.
Whereas if you try to like diagram it out too much, mm-hmm. sometimes you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like you're just sort of like making something into a math equation that's really like, you know, kind of more like the feel, I don't know, the feeling of the
well,
thing.
Well, in sitcom writing too, it's very sing-songy. I mean, it's literally
there's
a
music
song.
To it. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and the word economy is so important. You really have to think out every single word and how it fits into a phrase, right? To
right.
be funny.
And I think you can't really, I don't know, at least for me, I can't really sense that just thinking about it, you know. But yeah. It is a music. You know, Jimmy Burrows, who's like that world famous, you know, sitcom director, who's directed, like he created Cheers and all
yes.
that. He will actually, I got to work with him earlier this year, and he didn't do this, but I've heard this is what he does too. He will go behind stage during the rehearsals and just listen to the dialogue. And that's how he gets an idea cool. of how to direct the actors. He doesn't even watch what they're
doing.
Wow. Yeah.
See, I love that era of sitcom, the 80s. I love Cheers. I love Roseanne. And I was just watching Sanford and Son, which takes place in a goddamn junkyard. It's Red Fox and his son. And I feel like the sitcom of today, this would never exist, these 80s sitcoms. And for some reason, we're so terrified of talking about real shit, like race
I know,
or
like
anything.
DJ from Roseanne, what a...
Oh yeah,
dysfunctional real character that is.
Yeah,
and right. He's basically has Asperger's. You know,
right,
yeah.
right,
yeah, yeah.
And you can't imagine.
He's highly functioning autistic. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
right.
On the show for sure.
They let it get dark for sure.
Well, anyways,
so
those are the good old days of sitcom.
Good old days. You know, I just wish there was more ways to make fun of kids with Asperger's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why don't you write that sitcom?
That's what my novel was about.
Was it?
What was it called again?
Autism and Asperger's.
Dude, here's the problem. It was called Midnight Delirium. It was spit all over the table. And I was such an angsty fucking kid.
Really?
In
I don't
college.
See that.
Oh,
I don't
my God.
See that.
I know.
Were you up to above 103? Were you now weighing more?
I was weighing more than 103, but I had the confidence of 103.
Oh. Wait, what did you graduate high school weighing?
I don't remember. Probably like
I don't
160.
Think I ever weighed 103.
I'm obsessed with weight, so I just fucking.
I think like 160, but like my picture in high school, my graduation, I showed my girlfriend, and she, without joking, she was like, "Oh, is this your eighth grade graduation picture?" And I was like, "See, this is why fucking high school sucked.
High school is the worst. I hate it too.
I can't remember being more unhappy."
Your sex life is important, but your schedule is busy. You don't have the time to go to a doctor's office to get treated for your erectile dysfunction. Through Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. Hims is changing men's health care by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment, options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor's visits. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/YMH. That's hims.com/YMH for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/YMH. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, but here's the thing, and I don't know, this is only what I know from like, you and I didn't sleep one night, and then we went to the airport.
Clarify with Tom what that means.
But no, wait, but like, all of us went on this early morning flight after this festival, and none of us had slept, so let me rephrase that.
We all looked like Helen Hong, who was also on the flight.
Yeah, and we're in the airport, and you and I are delirious, and we're just going through each other's family lives, and it struck me that you kind of have... As far as comedians go, a pretty functional upbringing. It sounded like a cool family.
Absolutely. I mean, my family's not like normal. Like, I grew up in like a redwood forest. And, you know, my parents used to grow pot and all that kind of stuff.
Really?
Wow, that's rad.
as far as comedian goes, that's pretty fucking normal.
No, yeah,
that's like Leave
It
to Beaver.
That's pretty good. I remember
that's a sitcom.
Was it? I think it was in your act. I think I saw you. You had a joke about the name, right? Your name.
Yeah.
And I forget what it was, but your parents. They gave you like wasn't it like an Indian name?
Yeah, well, it's funny because my name is actually Mohan, which is Hindu, and it's another name for Mohandas Gandhi.
Wow.
And if anyone doesn't, you know, well, I'm just like a white Jewish guy. There's no dot situation.
That is pretty insane.
But
right?
What's funny is I grew up hearing that they'd given me that name, and mm-hmm. I was like, well, I mean, it makes sense, I guess, if you name your kid after Gandhi. But then I heard the real story when I was midway through high school, which is my dad wanted to give me a Hebrew name. And he went into the bookstore in Berkeley and was reading through names through the New Age Baby name book. But he didn't want to buy the book, which is where the Jewishness comes in.
Right.
So he just started writing down names. And while getting scared that he was going to get caught writing them down, he accidentally went from the Hebrew section to the Hindu section.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. And so during my brisk, you know, my circumcision, the rabbi's like, that's not a fucking Jewish name, Mohan. Yeah. They're like, what? No, it was. They went back and looked. No, it's not.
That's hilarious.
So they decided, like, you know, it's fate or whatever. So they kept it. So then I was like to my mom, like, well, so you didn't name me after Gandhi because you didn't think he was in the Hebrew section, surely, you know.
So did they call you Mo, though? Everybody called
no,
you Mo?
No, actually, I started going by Mo my junior year of college.
So in high school, everyone called you?
Mohan, yeah. I was 103 pounds. My name was Mohan. I was Jewish in a redneck town. Things were good.
Oh, my God. No wonder you had anxiety.
Yeah.
Awfulness.
See, yeah, I'm trying to think, like, back to my high school. If I knew you, I'd be like... Yo, where the fuck's that guy from? Like, that would be my thing,
right?
Oh,
we would ridicule you constantly,
yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Why does that guy have that ridiculous name?
Well, you know what's funny is, like, a lot of people just assume, like, if people will talk to me, they go, you're Jewish, and they'll be like, so what's your real name? I go, Mohan. They go, oh, so you're really Jewish.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, no, it's actually Hindu.
Yeah. That's funny.
It's not.
I would make that same horrible joke and an analysis. They're like, this guy's a real
It's not a joke. Yeah, you just assume. Yeah, you're like, well, it's a weird name. I've never heard it. You're certainly not named after a fucking Indian revolutionary. That would make no sense.
That is so fucking crazy.
Sounds super Jewy, yeah.
Now, how did you... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I want to say, so you lived in Redwood Forest, literally in like a hippie foresty commune?
No, my brother was actually raised in a commune in Berkeley in the hills. It was like a dome.
What?
And he
older or younger?
2 years older.
Okay.
And like they said, you know, like my mom and her friends would, like, they had the kids and they would, like, take turns breastfeeding the different kids. You know, they'd pass them around
this.
And shit. And but when I was born, they had already moved to the country, a little town of 700 people, and so it wasn't a commune at that point. But it was a small house that used to be like a logger's cabin or something.
And did you have electricity and running water?
Yeah, we had electricity and running water.
But you were just like kind of out there, kind of.
Yeah, like you couldn't get cable where I live. Like they physically could not hook it up that far. So like if you knew people who had, they had like one of those NASA-sized satellite dishes. Remember that? Like
in the 80s or
something.
Yeah,
like, I live in a trailer and I work for NASA.
Well, no wonder you're a good writer. You had your imagination growing up. You didn't watch television.
Like, Mom, I want to see Married with Children. Well, write an episode.
Did you?
Of course.
Did you want to do stand-up young?
No, but I had a cousin. One of my cousins was a stand-up comedian in the 80s and 90s and very successful. Her name was Sue Kalinske. Mm-hmm. And she was on The Tonight Show and she hosted a show on Comedy Central when it first came out.
Shit.
What? Really?
Wow. Yeah.
And she now works in reality TV, but she also wrote for Sex and the City. I mean, she's had a very successful career down here. So growing up, so far removed from Hollywood, every now and then we would be like at a place that had cable and we'd watch my cousin on the Bob Hope special or, you know.
Oh, wow.
You know, she used to date for years Ken Ober. Who?
Oh, yeah. I remember Ken Ober.
Remote Control and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She lives here?
She still lives here, yeah. She's super funny. She doesn't do stand-up really anymore, but she worked for the Osbournes as an executive producer.
I love that show. I miss them so much. I watched every episode of that show.
Really?
Yeah, they're so kooky. Fun. I like them.
Never have been able to get into any.
Wait, so when did you get? Oh my God, I'm so into it now. I can't.
Just reality TV in general?
A lot. Well, a lot of, like, shows that you wouldn't expect. None of really the network ones. Just the cable.
No, we don't.
Ones.
We don't watch like.
Yeah.
So you
oh
think
yeah.
You
what's
can dance?
Yeah? What's yeah. The Voice? You're not gonna. Watch.
No, no, not like Survivor. No, not shit like
we
that.
We watch the really dumb shit.
Yeah, like the Bravo stuff, like Millionaire Matchmaker.
Oh, God. This is so funny because like every time I get up in the morning, my girlfriend's just like eating it. Breakfast while watching some bullshit like Dance Moms or something. I'm like, what the? Well, who does
all that TLC Gigolos. Stuff?
Really? Oh, Gigolos. I actually watched Gigolos once with my girlfriend. And we got really turned on and actually fucked after watching it.
There you
it was
go.
Like,
are you serious?
Some dude had gotten paid to like bang this fucking like kind of hot chick. And like it was kind of like the first time we'd ever actually like kind of watched porno together, but it wasn't porno, you know?
Porno.
And we were like, nice. All right. We got into it.
Oh, yeah. Porno.
Porno. Porno. Isn't that nice when you can share porno together?
That's... Yeah, but it's funny, like, in my experience, like, I feel like any girls I've dated, they're never quite ready for how intense it gets. Like, they're kind of, like, into it, and then they're like, what is this, like, fetish porn? You're like, no, this is just what they do.
It's normal now.
He came on the floor, and she has to clean up something.
Yeah, so. Yeah, there you go. It's true, because it is so extreme from what we're used to. As a woman, you're like, oh my, do you have to have anal every time you have sex?
Yeah, like, I feel like when women watch porn, it's like guys watching porn right after we orgasmed. We're just like, you know, you're like, oh God, that's not necessary at all.
Yeah.
But I will say you found a keeper, because if you can, I think it's good when a woman kind of is cool with you in pornography.
No, she's definitely,
because you don't want to marry someone.
It's not very common. I don't understand women who are like, don't let their guys watch pornography.
They exist. That's what I'm saying. You're lucky in that you found.
It is bizarre.
You found a good one.
And I know guys are like, no, I just kind of put the ixnay on that. Like, she's not a big fan, so kind of stopped. Just kind of like, okay, what else can you do? Are you allowed to do stuff still?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. It's like, half of all marriages fail. Why don't we give ourselves a fighting fucking chance? You know,
yeah.
Make it somewhat tolerable for you guys to be around each other.
Could you imagine if you really loved, like, I love Smokey Bob, but my husband won't let me. Or
that one I know like very well. Friends who are like, and not like fucking stoners, but like these people who like to, I like every once in a while to smoke a joint or whatever, smoke a bowl, and their spouse is like, that shit is not happening.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, I guess I'll never do that again. I'm like, damn, but you like doing that. Like, you're not killing anyone doing that. Like, just...
Right.
Like, just done. Done.
I know. It's...
She cut them off, and they're hers now.
Torture.
I actually, on the same topic, and kind of to connect to the last one, found out also at the end of high school, my parents had an open marriage.
No!
What? While I was a kid. But, you know, here's the thing.
Wow.
They don't think anymore. But that's another thing where I'm like, I'm not a proponent of it necessarily, but... They've been married for 44 years. They go tango dancing every fucking week. Look, if you can find a way to keep yourself in love with somebody after that long, fucking anything goes.
That's what I tell Tommy.
She told me, just wait it out.
Wait it out, bro.
I can start banging chicks after we're like 30 or 40 years in.
Really?
Well, yeah, especially
Can the chicks be younger, or do they have to be the same age?
I don't know. We're not there yet.
That's the line.
But here's the thing. Like, seriously, if you've lived your life with somebody, you have a home, you've raised your kids, you guys are cool, why the fuck not?
No, they did this before they got older.
But your mother wasn't afraid of having like little were you guys little at the time, or was this before she had you?
I think it was both. They were married for 10 years before they had us, but I think for a short period. Because you know what happened was my mom was she all of a sudden she was like, you know, I got to go to Portland for a couple weeks, and I was like, why the who why what? Or not a couple weeks, like a couple days. And then I was like, who the fuck do you know up there? She's like, oh, an old friend. It's this guy I know who's dying of brain cancer, and he's asked for me to come up there and see him before he dies. Pretty fucking intense. I'm like,
yeah, that's intense.
This guy is that close to your friend, and I've never heard of him. And then it kind of, it did come out then, but one of my dad, his friend and him had a falling out, and his friend drunkenly, like, told my brother this shit.
Whoa.
And then we're like, oh, that's why you went to Portland, to see your ex-lover.
See your ex-lover.
I just want to taste of that pussy before I die.
I'm dying of cancer.
And the whole time afterwards, I found out, because I think I found out in between her realizing she has to go and then her going. So the whole time I was saying to my dad, like, you know they're getting it back on, right? I mean, you know, like, he's probably not even sick, right?
So your parents do not... Your dad's not a jealous guy, right? I mean, damn.
I mean, I think the guy was literally dying of brain cancer.
But
you got a fucking asshole to be.
But the arrangement... Like, they're pretty cool.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I really don't think they do this anymore. Funny enough, though, I did talk a little bit about this on Bob and Tom, which is that show out in Indiana, right?
Yeah.
And then a friend of mine calls me from my hometown and goes, hey, you know that show's syndicated here now, right?
Oh, no. Shit. So, but,
but they didn't hear it.
But do you, okay, so they stopped doing it, which means for some reason it obviously wasn't working out, maybe.
Yeah, the rumor was my dad wasn't as cool with it, which I totally get. I don't feel like he could pull a lot.
Is this because he doesn't see you in, as the lead in that script? Is this what you're getting?
Yeah, fuck that. Mm-hmm.
Fuck that, man. I'm not Barry.
Do you think this contributed? Because that's pretty heavy for a little kid to find out when your parents are having like alternative.
We didn't find out when I was a little kid. I found out towards the end of high school.
But or you maybe, sensed it.
But I remember this conversation in high school. I mean, you know how there's like a girl in high school who like maybe gives a hand job or something and she becomes known as like the class whore.
Of course.
And the poor girl is fucking just, you know.
Of course.
How judgmental you are. So I remember we're at like this pharmacy or whatever. I was a sophomore. My dad was taking me home and he had to pick up something. And this girl, you know, was kind of nice to me or whatever, who was working behind the counter, and she also went to high school with me, you know. But she was like way out of my league. As every girl was at that time. I don't know if I'd kissed a girl at that point, really. And my dad's like, you should, you know, she was real nice. She asked you about like the math class you guys and you should talk to her. I'm like, Dad, I'm not going to, I'm going to make kind of an excuse. I'm like, Dad, she's like, she fucking such a whore. I mean, like some, she like anal sex with some guy or something. He's like, and he goes, a lot of people have anal sex. I was like, oh, fuck
no,
me.
No, yeah, thanks, Dad.
What's up, Dad?
I just like at that point in my life, oh, that girl has anal sex. I don't want anything to do
of
with
course,
it.
I remember the anal sex rumor girl in my high school.
There's always one.
Oh, God, and they were just brutal to that girl. But I was just like, God.
There was a girl called Butt Sex Becky.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, Butt Sex Becky, because she had butt sex.
Yeah, Backdoor Buford was at ours.
There you go.
Yeah.
Backdoor, so it just happened to be the people with the B last names were getting anal
sex. So lucky.
I guess so, yeah.
Lucky
that
break.
Sucks. There was just one girl that had huge tits.
There's all butt sex a girl over there. You're like, wait, that doesn't work. Let's wait for somebody else to do it before you throw that one up.
Stacy. No, there was this girl, Shelby Castellucci, and she had just huge tits, like in seventh grade. Nice. She was one of those girls that just had enormous tits. And of course, everybody called her a whore. I felt so bad for her. Yeah. She didn't even do anything just by virtue of having those titties.
They've got these big old sloppers, and you guys are fucking talking shit.
I know. So, okay, so you had angst and stuff. So what were you? Were you like gothy, or were you, what was your whole genre?
I like kind of tried to be like a indie rocker guy. Mm-hmm. I think I was like a I was like a candy raver of an indie rocker.
Uh-huh. Oh, right, because raves were big in the 90s. That was that time,
I don't know. Like, I would try to like go thrift store shopping and stuff like that, but I was never really that. I have a hard time investing in any particular subculture too much, you know?
Yeah. It is an investment.
Wait, where did you go to college?
UC Santa Barbara.
Oh, smart kid. UC. Nice. Good school.
It was not as smart when I went there.
Really? That's a nice fucking town, though.
Yeah, it is a nice town. I got in there in 1999, so it's not like now it is pretty smart. When I was there, it was like you could get like a 3.3 or something. It wasn't like
It's pretty high.
Yeah, GPA actually, I didn't get that.
Sorry, I didn't really do an assessment of the room.
I barely know this room so well. What was your SAT?
I'm sorry, I really didn't read this crowd.
Do you want to talk low? I bet you have SAT? The lowest SAT score of all of us.
1230.
Ooh.
But I did take a course. I took a course for 2 days. What did you guys get?
I got 1030.
I didn't break 1,000.
And we should also clarify. What, are you serious?
Because I was so bad at math. I failed Algebra 1 like 3 times. So my math score was literally like 3 something, and then it was all verbal.
Yeah, you used literally perfectly right there.
So
you
stupid.
You certainly did.
I actually had to take Algebra 1 twice in high school as well.
Okay.
Failed Algebra 1 freshman year. They made me take sophomore year. I took, what was it? Geometry?
Geometry. Yeah.
Totally cool.
Yeah. I got a B in geometry. It's the only math in my life I got a B in.
Took an algebra course again, junior year, failed.
Mm-hmm.
Senior year had to take, another like makeup course, failed. Mm-hmm. And then basically
when you say failed, you mean failed.
F.
So you just didn't try.
Yeah. You didn't even show up.
No, it was bad. Like, I literally, my math, first of all, I think I'm poor math skills, but then I was so scared of math that, like, even my, like, the building blocks of, like, of math that, like, you know, the math you learn in seventh grade, I'd forgotten. So, like, when they're like, you know, when they would give me an example,
right,
you just divide it like you did back then, and then you can move. I'd be like, I forgot how to do that.
It's infuriating to me how, like, you don't even use something you learned in fourth grade.
You know,
you know what I mean? Like, there's zero math that you use in your life.
Well, yeah, well, all the X minus 7 over B, none of that shit fucking matters.
No, and here's the other thing. You think that that would matter if you took, like, if you had a career in finance, and you don't even need math to have a finance career.
Yeah, well,
you know, you really
have,
don't.
You just have to have a really nice suit. You have to be really aggressive.
Yeah, I mean,
really aggressive.
But I mean, like, you're
carry a briefcase.
The knowledge, the number knowledge is like here's
percentage.
The shares. This is the price. Yeah, so like you multiply this by that.
And I think it times it by.
You times it. Like,
dude, it is all a bunch of fuck. It's all personality, this fucking world, dude.
Everything.
My cousin makes over $1 million a year working for Oracle. And he's like a big time salesman. Motherfucker, like, only reason he got into college was a good baseball player. You know, cruised through that shit. You know, got a job working in sales for some place. He says a great
person. $1 million a year in sales?
And he's just incredibly like charismatic and kind of good looking and kind of like loves people and people love him. He's you plus $950,000.
Wow.
Jesus, you dick.
And I'm just like, I'm like, he works for like a tech company. He's like, I don't know. I just sell him and I go, these guys will break it down for you.
Definitely in America.
Wow,
you can get by on bullshit.
Yeah.
But like in Germany, or you know, where you work for one company your whole life, it's definitely merit-based. Like, you have to have the marks, the good grades to get in here. Engineering.
What
are
about,
you based? Do you have a lot of insight into the German corporate structure?
I do, actually.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because I studied German in college, and I remember learning, like, seriously, to get a job in Germany, it's kind of a labor intensive. Like, you do have to show your academics, and you're at one company your whole life. At least that's how it was in the 90s.
Can you imagine applying for a job now and trying to explain you've been doing
for the last 10 years, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd be like,
I've written some good poo jokes.
Yeah. You guys. I come on her face. Did you guys like that?
Like, in my podcast?
If I were to go back over my resume, I'd be like, I think
the longer you do this and not that, definitely the worse
so
for you.
So fucked.
Getting into that shit.
There's no looking back.
How did you get into stand-up?
Well, like I said, I wrote a lot of stuff in college, and I got kind of to a certain point where when I graduated, where I was just sort of, I don't really understand. I kind of just got sick of writing things that no one wanted to read.
Yeah.
You know, you could write a novel and no one gives a shit. And somehow, I think the summer after I graduated college, I just sort of like started like just thinking about shit. Like just thinking about what, you know, how would you write a joke? I don't know why I just started thinking about it. And then I was working at a summer camp and I had all the counselors like, hey, go into the laundry room at like 3 a.m. I'm going to tell some jokes. And everyone's like,
You did this?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And then I just got out in front of, I was hiding behind a laundry machine. I had a friend of mine come out and say, all right, da, da, da. And I got on there and just did some stuff. And it actually went pretty well. And I think I did it like two other times during that summer. And then I like over the next year, maybe did like 14 open mics just sort of playfully. Oh, wow. And then I was like fucking them into it. And I moved to San Francisco. And
just started doing it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was working at Pete's Coffee. I would work the 5:15 a.m. to 1 p.m. shift. So that I could go take the bus around town to do open mics, and then
in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So, what did you do? Like Brainwash? Was that?
Yeah,
one
yeah.
There?
Brainwash. I think I got second place in that competition.
Okay, yeah. Look at you, Momento.
It's in a laundromat.
That's right.
/ cafe / open mic.
Wow.
That's right. Yeah. And did you do the Sunday open mic at the Punchline?
Yeah. Punchline, all that. Started with like guys like Moshe Kasher, Nico Santos, Ali Wong.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
All big names.
Big names.
Mr. Moshe. I know Mr. Moshe.
Big, basic cable names.
That's right.
Small, non-basic cable names.
There you go. So what do your parents do for money? They grow weed?
No. My dad's a psychiatrist. They're both in like their late 60s now. So I think they don't work that much. But he's a psychiatrist and my mom does a massage.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Those are two of our favorite things.
Definitely.
Really? Do you guys do a lot of massage and stuff?
Yeah, we go to these Thai broads. It's like $20 an hour. And we love that stuff, man.
I was in Whole Foods today and the one in Hollywood, you know, there's that massage section.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just love that idea. Someone's like, oh, I had to buy an organic peach and it distressed me out. I really need someone to work the kinks.
Plunk down in the produce department in front of everybody.
Totally do, yeah.
I won't do that. I can't do it in public.
Oh, fuck no. It's crazy.
Embarrassing.
I worked with Eric Griffin on the road one time. You know, yeah. Workaholics Eric Griffin. He was this fucking... He was going to get massages in the mall and stuff. He was like, I think one day he went, because we were in the Mall of America, one day he went and got like a normal massage. The next day he was like, I think I'm going to get the kind where you lie down in the thing and they spray you with water and the tube or something like that. I was like, oh my dude, what the
It's so
fuck?
Addictive,
That's
though.
A colonic.
It's addictive because of like that state, that like euphoric state you get into, you just want to feel like that all the time, you know? It's like an anxiety reliever.
It is.
It's wonderful.
It's very healing. If someone likes you and they massage you, some of these Thai bitches don't give a fuck and they just tear into you. If you get a good one, it's so wonderful. You get transported to
it's a healer.
Dimension.
Yeah. Have you guys ever done the couples massage?
Yeah.
Like when you're in the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. My girlfriend took me for my birthday a couple of years ago and we went to one and it was great. Yeah. And then the girl started like making fun of me though. Like my masseuse was like making fun of my hairy back and like was making these little cracks.
Don't
really?
You hate that?
And it was like kind of funny at first and I was like, all right, bitch, shut the fuck up. I'm like, trying to relax.
So
like,
yeah.
Oh, look at how heady.
Just so kind of
kept going on.
I always think that they are looking at me too, like, you're so fat. Look at her fat rolls.
Oh, I'm sure they're disgusted by me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course they are. They just keep it inside. They're like, that was a fucking...
They're also small enough.
The real pig we had in here for the last hour.
Oh, yeah, because they're all Thai and stuff. They're all tiny.
Yeah.
I went to a prostitute one time in Amsterdam to get a beejer.
Yeah, with the red light district?
Yeah, and I was so cold that I had been wearing long johns. And when I took my pants down with the long johns, she started laughing at me. And I was like, fuck this. And I just was like, I walked out. I was like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, who wants to be
and I heard her,
chastised?
And I heard her be like to a friend, like in whatever language, like just describing what a pussy I was for walking around this long. I'm like, well, I'm sorry, okay? It's fucking cold here. I understand you guys are on cocaine or something that keeps your body.
Wait, I'm desperate to ask you about this.
Huh.
The story that I asked you before, if you could tell. That Christina was like, I don't know about this.
Oh, yeah.
The Jim Gaffigan story.
Yes.
Please tell this story.
Do you think this is cool, though? I mean.
Yeah, of course.
Would he get mad about that? I don't know him personally, do you?
No. I mean, I've met him once. I don't think he
seems
would get
like
mad.
A pretty normal
he's not
dude.
Gonna, he's not going to hear this, right?
Negative.
No.
Well, anyway. So I was in 2010. I was going to do my film like Comedy Central half hour special. And so I was like, I got to New York like the day before and I was like, all right, I need to do three sets tonight. And I'm gonna work out like, each one 10 minutes. And the first one was at Gotham and Jake Johansson was the headliner. And you know, I was going to go up there and do, you know, whatever 10 minutes. And so then right before I go on, Jim Gaffigan shows up and they're like, all right, well, Jim's going to go on and then you're going to go on. And John Doerr was also on the show, but he actually left before this happened. So then Jim goes on stage. And the crowd is really rowdy. Like, they were just rowdy for the host, and they were just rowdy. And it's just not going well. And they're just heckling him. And, you know, Jim's, like, just doing his jokes. Like, he's just there to work on jokes, whatever.
Yeah.
And then finally, you know, I'm sort of just spacing out. And then I look up, and I just hear him go, like, what did you say? And the person, some guy in the crowd's like, fuck you. And then he's like, stand up, coward.
Good.
And then all of a sudden, and I didn't really see what happened exactly, like in the crowd. And all of a sudden, Jim Gaffigan just charges off stage, tackles the guy, just starts punching him.
Nice.
And the guy has like three friends, and it's just like a melee. And they throw him against the wall, and I think he got hit maybe. And it's just fucking berserk because you're like, of all the people that are going to get in a fist
at Gotham.
At Gotham.
So rad.
Jim fucking Gaffigan, you know?
Love
and
him.
He's up there not doing the edgy material I was planning on doing. He's up there talking about pie and shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? How did he? So apparently what happened is his wife went over there to tell the guy to be quiet, and the guy said something to him, and then Jim just fucking went nuts. You know, that's why should always stay out of those situations, girlfriends and boyfriends. Yeah, and he hit the guy pretty hard, you know, and then he just gets, like, charged out. And, like, all of a sudden you see, like, he's, like, just a big man. Like, he's just a big man from Indiana. Like, he's not, like, this cuddle bear guy. Like, I'm sure he is that, too. But, like, he's just charged out. He's bright red, you know, and it's crazy. Like, 70 people get escorted out. It goes on for, like, a half hour. And then the club owner comes up to me, and he goes, Jake Johansson's manager comes up to me, and he goes, So I'm like, yeah. So I go, I mean, obviously I'm not going to go up. I mean, we just lost 40 minutes. He goes, actually, Jake still wants you to go up there and do like 10 minutes. He doesn't want to follow that. So I have to get on stage. And there's like, you know, there's 70 people gone, all from like the same section, basically. And I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to try to get to do whatever. And the next day in Time Out magazine, online, you know, Time Out New York, they wrote about it. And they wrote, after the melee, L.A. comedian Mo Mandel took the stage and attempted to win the crowd back with a joke about a man fucking a dog and a lion. And it was like a joke I had told for like a week and then told for another week.
But
that is what they decided to encapsulate my entire comedy. It's always comedy like that.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Well, did it work? Did the joke work?
I think it did okay.
Yeah. You know what, though? And Gaffigan's, that's so, in his defense, like, wouldn't you go bananas if some fucking guy said something to me?
Oh, yeah.
You
and I,
tear him apart.
I've come close. I mean, I've raged. I've lost my shit on stage before. I've definitely wanted to legit beat the fuck out of somebody. I think if they said something to you, it's almost, that's the green light. You're like, all right, go for it. Like, there's, that's
well, that's when, that's when someone's painting a corner.
Yeah.
You know? But it's funny, though, because I've never, you know, I've done comedy for like 10 years and a lot of shitty places, a lot of shitty comedians. I've never seen that before.
No.
I've never seen
no.
a
fist.
I saw one time, who the fuck was that? Somebody at, remember Dublin's? Were you here when Dublin's was
there? No, I've always heard about Dublin's.
Somebody jumped off stage. Yeah, it wasn't a named guy, but they would always have like guys who were like just crush city back then. It would be like Bowden. And then Dane, this is like before Dane was even like a superstar.
Yeah.
He would just level the, and then there'd be people who you didn't really know from like the clubs or anything. And some guy lost his shit and choked somebody out.
Choked him out.
Yeah. Good. Like jumped off and put him in a headlock and was like choking him. Yeah. I heard, I mean, I'm trying to think of.
See, comics should do that more often.
Yeah.
And then word should spread that if you mouth off, someone's going to fucking choke you out.
Right.
I like it.
Punch you and beat you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's scary though when you're on the road because you're by yourself and you're in these people's like backyard, you know. And it's like I was at a club one time recently, and some guy was like really just fucking getting into it with me, and like I like had one of those things where like you're clicking on all cylinders and you just eviscerate the fucking guy, and he's just like really like. You know, he takes it the wrong way. Like, he's like, now there's nothing else to do. Yeah. And I was too scared to even sell CDs after the show. Because I was like, I'm by myself. There's only females working staff at the club.
Oh,
there's no big guy
fucked
here.
Yeah,
so I'm like, you know, not to generalize women as not being tough or whatever. But I was like,
no, you need protection.
You need a fucking someone, guy who's at least bigger than you. Yeah. You know, and then I was like, oh, fuck this. I don't want to get punched over this.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, no.
Cost me probably $14 worth of CD sales.
That is the difference between me and you guys, though, is that if you say something shitty to somebody, the repercussions could be most likely more physical than mine. Like 9 times out of 10, a dude isn't going to come back.
But what about
at me
a chick?
Physically,
it's like a chick would beat you up, right?
Yeah, and it's—I don't know if it's ever come. No, I've only ever had an altercation, kind of where I wanted to fucking murder somebody in Indianapolis. This drunk girl
was it like, crackers downtown? Because that's where my story took place.
Yeah, that is exactly where my story took place. I can't believe that.
But it's funny because I told this story to someone the other day and they were like, And they were like, oh, I had this thing happen there the other day and one of the chicks tackled the guy. And I was like, oh, so they're fucking these girls actually can't handle
this. Oh,
my God. I broke the mic stand at Crackers downtown. Just so, you know when you take the mic stand and you go like this? I did it so hard that the whole thing, the base of it broke. And the thing broke. So I was... ready. I was ready to get off stage and beat
somebody. Ruth Ann a check for $85 at the end of the week.
No. I was like, you guys need to fucking step up and get people out of here when it gets to that point. This shit was a fucking train wreck.
Yeah. I mean, I like that club in general. Like, I like the setup. I like it small.
I like the shows there.
Yeah.
The
shows are
fun.
Yeah. No, I agree. It is fun.
For some reason,
they can get rowdy. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
God damn it!
And I don't like that as much anymore. I used to like just proving my balls to myself, like I can handle a rowdy crowd. Now it's like I really don't want anything.
I don't like
it's,
that vibe.
Yeah. It's exhausting. There's no money
it's
in it.
Stupid.
There's no payoff
it's
in it.
It's just like it always. Well, what takes to win is like the worst.
But the
joke.
Thing is, now that you're 10 years into stand up, like you're really a stand up. You know how to perform. You know, like you like doing this. This is your one of the art forms that you partake in, and when you go do it, you want to do the show. Like, you want to, here, I'm here. I came here to perform for you. So when, like, you get a really rowdy, fucking chaotic environment, it's like, it's such a disrespect to what you want to do.
Right.
You know, after this much time, you're like, well, why do I have to deal? Like, I came here to do this.
Yeah.
And you're fucking it up for me. Right,
and
now,
you're not really working on material. You're not improving.
It's derailing your work.
Right.
And then also, as soon as they get the power, then you're literally performing for them as opposed to them watching you perform.
Yeah.
And that's a horrible feeling.
That's interesting point, Mo.
That's very true. You're like a dancing monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean when people yell shit out, you should be able to yell something back. And like, if you're a comic, you know, that's what you do. Like, and that's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm talking about like when there's that level of like just chaos in a room.
Yeah.
And like the room doesn't handle that. And you're just like, so am I just supposed to fucking babysit this guy or this table?
Right.
Like for the next 20 minutes?
It's that. And when you get like a really shitty suburban crowd that just wants you to fucking not say anything that they don't want to hear.
Yeah.
That also the worst. I'm just like, no, you know what? No. Yeah. I wasn't a fucking loner outcast for most of my life to fucking try to, you know, coerce the mainstream into having a good Friday night. Like, fuck that.
No,
that's
fuck you.
Not what I want out of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They stopped booking me for special holidays because
Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
I know.
Valentine's Day. They were like, no more Valentine's Day. And then I got a Mother's Day one where they got, you could have at least said Happy Mother's Day. And I was like, fuck you, man. And he was like, brought my mother to this shit. I don't give a fuck about your mother.
Oh man, I know. And then you see, but then you like have that attitude, and then you like talk to some guy who does a corporate, and you're like, "I'm sorry, you made how much money?"
Yeah.
Oh my god, I know.
Amazed.
Yeah, but you know what? After enough time, you realize you're like, you know what? If I cared about that much, I would have made the change.
Of course.
Like I would have done something to get that gig. It's not in you. If you know about that and you don't make the change, it's because you really don't desire it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do that show.
Not only that, I almost feel like I'm like, well, I would just do something else.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, but now, I mean, obviously, I don't think I can do that. But I mean, I would have liked to have thought I would have just said some different career, you know?
Yeah.
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 Man.
Absolutely, man.
But I.
Oh my gosh.
Did I win a prize?
Pretty much.
In a way, yeah.
You have a nice smile.
Thank you. Did I win a free cleaning or something?
are you
familiar with Sparkle Care? Tears are free too.
This is our dental update segment of the show.
Nice.
What's your dental history?
Oh, I have the best teeth. I never have cavities.
Really?
How many do you have now, total?
Well, that's up for discussion. Because I went to a student dentist in San Francisco, and I got 3 in one sitting, and then I went to a real dentist down here, and he goes, you didn't need cavities.
Yeah, dude, you
fucking
can't
just did
do
this.
That.
Yeah, it's bullshit. So I think I have like maybe 1 or 2 real ones.
Okay. You can't do that.
Legit VDs.
I was told 13 one time by like a really expensive upscale like Beverly Hills thing, and I was like, what? And they were like, just what you got, man. Do you want to take care of him right now? And I was like, no, I need to get out of here. And I this was years ago. Then I went to another dentist, and he checked, and he was like, you have 0 cavities.
That's why I know my dentist is the shit, because he's like the mechanic who tells you not to fix stuff. He's like, every time he's like, you'll never have a cavity again.
That's the best. That's a rare.
Or he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
I know.
Now, have you had braces?
I had them for like 6 months in high school. I actually still have a little bar beneath my front teeth.
What?
Really?
A lot of people don't know what that is.
Wow.
You have what?
Yeah, see, that's a bar.
Wow.
Holding these two chompers together. Yeah.
For how? What do you mean hold them together?
Like, supposedly it's like forever. They're just like.
Why is that?
Because I had a big space in my teeth growing up.
And so did I.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
And then just they close it up?
Well, I had to have a surgery to remove the muscle tissue in between them and then braces. So maybe because there's muscle tissue that actively pushes them apart. Maybe that's something to do with that. I don't know.
Teeth look nice, Mo.
Are they Thank your you. Real teeth? Are you capped or veneered in any way?
No.
How about whitening?
No.
Wonderful. Really nice
really
teeth.
Nice teeth.
I disagree with you guys, actually. I don't think my teeth, I mean, I appreciate it, but I really think so.
You should
look at
see.
Me. Look at me. Smile.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
really nice. What are you talking
you
about?
Should see the
Maybe
pigs.
I'm just hard
that
on myself.
Sat there.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
You're talking about, you're crazy.
Maybe
you
I'm
are
tough
crazy.
On myself.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you floss?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
And I do the electric toothbrush.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I really pamper myself.
I like that.
I might even turn the brush around and rub up that tongue. Get those germs off the tongue.
I do that.
I want to get one of those electric, what's it called? The
water pick?
Sonicare.
Sonicare.
You're crazy if you don't have that.
Really?
It is fucking unbelievable. And then you talk to the dentist and they're like, I actually talked to her the other day and she, the dentist, she was like, dental care has like, it's like AD and BC kind of thing with like the Bible. It's like before and after Sonicare. Like it changed.
Really? Wow.
How much is a Sonicare brush?
It's like $69 now.
That's really reasonable.
It's very reasonable.
Go to your mom's house podcast.com, click on the Amazon banner and order yourself a Sonicare.
I'm sorry. I'm a little annoyed now. I did not realize I just got suckered into doing this great dental material just so you guys could do an ad plug.
That's
you did
just
not,
an ad.
You did not clear up with me. I thought I was a bit about the dental hour. I did not realize what the fuck I just walked into.
You're just selling stuff for us.
Oh, God. Even in the podcast land, there's no dignity. There's no morals.
What's up with that Jew shirt you were going to tell us about?
It's this Israelity tour. It was this weird tour I did where I opened for an Israeli rap group for 2 weeks. It was cool.
My
what
life.
Did you do? You did stand-up?
Bombed. I did stand-up, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
In Israel?
No. They're the number one selling Israeli rap group from Israel, called Subliminal Intact. They're actually fucking awesome. Like, really? I don't know what their lyrics are because I don't speak Jewish, but they do rap, put on a great show. And so, they did a West Coast tour, and I got to open for them.
Was
that
it cool?
Is so random.
It was a lot of fun.
How do you feel? Because I've heard horror stories, and I've also partaken in doing stand up where people didn't come to see stand up.
Oh, it's awful. It's
horrible. It's the worst.
Was that terrible?
It was not good. Like we did the House of Blues in San Diego, and for some reason,
bring them out,
goidel doidel.
No, it was goidel doidel,
doidel dreidel, whatever.
That what a Jewish That's person what I yells, say, yeah. goidel
doidel.
I've had enough of these jokes.
Yeah. So let me just clarify. Old Jewish men were not the ones coming to the Israeli rap group show. So I just want to clarify. It was not
the Dreidel boys.
We came all the way from the Catskills to see this. So they are like, we get there and they're like, you got to start the show. I'm like, there's literally nobody here. Everybody's on the balcony. They're like, well, it's 21 and over on the balcony and no one young. No, it's the opposite. Only young people could go to the balcony, and no one over 21 came. So there was no one. So I had to like start off the show staring up at the balcony. You know, it was a nightmare. I also once opened for Julio Iglesias, which was
What? I love Julio.
Yeah. Oh, he's a fucking dick.
Really? That's right here.
I never met him, but he wouldn't meet me.
He wouldn't?
No.
Wow.
This is actually a fucking great story. So I opened for two shows in San Francisco. One show in San Francisco, one show in Reno. Mind you, I think I made $500 total.
Wait, how do you get a Julio Iglesias?
Some guy over at CAA, who I'm not with, but at the time, like, I don't think I had an agent or something, and he like contacted my manager and was like, hey, you know, I just might want to do these. Like, he like liked me or whatever. It's also a fucking horrible gig. You make $500 for like two shows.
Nothing.
And
for Julio.
Yeah, and so the first show, you know, I go up there, so I just bomb in San Francisco. My parents came, I'm like, don't come, this is going to be awful. My dad goes, don't worry. And this is like in probably 08, so I'm doing like MySpace jokes and shit.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone's like 70 and Hispanic. And my dad goes, I heard these two guys in the bathroom speaking in Spanish about how they're mad that Julio's doing too many songs in English. And I was like, no wonder I bombed. Then the next night in Reno, I'm doing a show, and I'm using the bathroom before, and this guy is there. He looks over me and goes, huh, you don't look like the usual Julio crowd. I'm like, not only that, I'm on the show. The first night in San Francisco, Julio gets on stage and he goes, he does this whole, he does a lot of talking in between the show. And he goes, I want to bring a man on stage right now, my trumpet player. I want to bring him out here. He goes, this man is gay. He goes, I love him so much. If I did not love women so much, and all the women go fucking berserk, goes, this would be my lover. And everyone just goes crazy, and it's like this weird kind of like shtick, whatever. Weird. So the next day, we're at this bar in Reno, and I see the trumpet player. I'm like, oh, it's kind of a weird little bit you guys do. Do you guys do that every show? And he goes, no, I'm not gay. He goes, a few weeks ago, he brought me on stage and told me he'd just been making love to my wife. He goes, I'm married.
Funny.
He just does shit like that. Like, he'll just because, and I was like, why do you put up with it? He's like, it's a great job. It's a great paycheck. So he's just been touring for 7 years. So he's like bored. So he just punks his own fucking band.
That's pretty funny.
And outs a guy in front of 3,000 people.
So I would do that to somebody too.
I was at a theater in Canada and I was talking to like the engineering guys and I was like, oh, who's been through here? And they're like, Julio Iglesias was up here. And I go, how was that? And they're like, it was pretty interesting, you know. I was like, well, was he pretty chill? They're like, yeah, he was pretty chill. They're like, we were going to do like some between songs, he was like, they were like, everything cool. He was like, everything's fine. And then they're like, we're waiting. And then he goes, where are the fucking girls? And they were like, oh, we don't know. And he's like, get the fucking girls. And he's like, okay. So they scramble to find these girls. And he said that we saw him just explode, like lose his temper. Mm. And then he said, but the craziest thing was afterwards at the meet and greet, these people who had paid extra get to, like, they pay a lot of money to get to meet him and have their photo taken, like, in front of, like, some, you know, corporate sponsor picture, you know, background.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're like, I go, what was weird? He goes, well, the people would stand and they have to face the camera. And then Julio would get a little bit of a lift, a little step stool uh-huh. that he stood on. And he faced in the other direction.
What?
So he would face to his left and go like. And the picture would be like of his profile, but the people would look at the camera. I was like, that is the most fucking bizarre.
Why would he do that? He liked his profile more?
He wanted it to be like that. Yeah, he didn't want to look straight on. He wanted to look like this and have the picture taken here. And he would smile. And you would get this profile shot, and then you, the person, are facing the camera.
That's fucking so crazy.
Every picture was like that.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to meet him, and they were like, let me ask. And then they come back, oh, he's busy.
Wow.
But he did have, see, I mean, he
so you went from, like, your green room, like, knocked out, like, yeah, hey, can I meet him?
Yeah, they were like, no, get the fuck out of here. And then it took me like a month and a half to get the check. Like,
I
don't think they wanted to pay me.
Thank you.
I'm like talking to this guy, Victor, like who's like his road. Like, I'm like, Victor, I need the check, okay? And they're like, well, you know, we're going to Egypt to do a show.
$500, asshole, just send me the money.
I am an open micer. Give me my...
That's always the worst. It's always the small amounts, too.
I think Owen Benjamin actually opened for Julio a bunch, actually.
Oh, really?
I heard Julio would, like, request him.
Oh.
But that makes sense. Like, he does, like, musical stuff. Like, it's kind of like there's, like, a certain, you know, I don't know. I heard that.
That's funny. I opened for Ted Nugent.
That's unfucking believable.
It's unfucking believable. And very early in my stand-up career, too. So I had zero idea how to handle the situation at all. And it was right here. It was in California. It was like in Riverside or something. So it was like an hour and a half outside.
I mean, that's
LA.
Like a Ted Nugent show in Riverside must be like a high economic Klan rally. I mean, that's
exactly
unbelievable.
And I was like, oh, it's California. So clearly there can't be racists here. Wrong. Like there were dudes wearing Confederate flag cutoff jean vests.
He's
like,
really out of his mind.
No, you gotta. Out. If you're not following Ted Nugent on Twitter, like, get on that shit. I think he blocked me because I wrote a bunch of mean shit.
You did?
Yeah, I just like every time he says something, I just go after him. I just realized that now because I haven't seen a tweet from him in a while, and that's probably what he did. But he's unbelievable.
He's bananas. He was shooting arrows on fire at effigies of Saddam Hussein at the time or some weird stuff. I mean, he was out of his gourd.
Are you serious?
Really a nightmare. I bombed so fucking... I don't think I bombed that hard ever after that.
I mean, that must have been a huge crowd, right?
Yes. And they couldn't give... It's, you know how it is. When they don't give two fucks about what you're doing. And I did not have the material or the chops to like pull... It was like 2 years in the
studio. It's so funny how you even... Awful. Why you're offered these gigs.
Friend of a friend who was like, I've got this great gig for you, man. Yeah. You're opening for the Nuge.
And you're like, at that point where you're like, great. I'm not going to say no to anything.
Of course.
I got an offer from my agency the one time. They're like, all right, do you want to go do this Valentine's Day show in Atlanta, and they named the woman. I was like the singer. I was like, oh, she won like 12 Grammys in the Black R&B world in the 80s. You really think I'm the opener for a show and Valentine's Day in Atlanta? Are you fucking crazy? Like, get me a real gig. Like, don't throw me this. Like, you know, it's ridiculous.
The worst one I did was for Valentine's Day, like a year or two ago, at a really rich country club here in LA. Middle of the day show, luncheon. For just like really rich wives, they were the rudest, most condescending cunt rags of any audience ever. Like, I've had audiences that didn't speak English that were more considerate than these fucking assholes. They couldn't care less that I was talking. Like, they're texting, calling their chill. What are you doing? Getting up, walking out was the rudest thing. I should have asked for more money.
I'm looking at Ted Nugent, his Twitter.
Bananas.
He's got some great ones.
He does Freedom Isn't Free. Reminds you of that.
It's jam.
The great spirit of the woods is like an old good friend. Makes me feel warm and good inside. Mm-hmm. Good stuff like that.
There's other ones where he's just like, I like killed 8 pounds of deer meat today. Yes. Bloodlust for the hunter gods. You're just like, what the fuck?
Canada has more black bears than ever in recorded history. Rug steaks for everybody. I'm fueled by pure fresh, what is it, Michigan blue grill fillets and venison backstrap. Lord almighty.
What is backstrap? Because he uses that a lot.
No idea.
I don't know. Is that
back fat?
Here's the kind of stuff that I like. Hillary Clinton is a liar, traitor. Obama is a liar, traitor. Rice is a liar, traitor. Carney is a liar. Holder is a
felon. He's just talking about rice because it feeds so many Asians. And to him, that is a traitor. You're a white food and you're feeding non-whites.
He is so ridiculous.
No, so he wrote this one tweet where he was like, he wrote, all my iconic songs make excellent openers and excellent closers. Okay. So I like tweeted and I was like, oh cool, when are they coming out? And then I was like oh, that was fun. So then I just like retweeted to that thing like 1,000 times. I was like, huh, that's weird, I only use them when I'm beating my wife or just like, you know. And then I got blocked by Nuge.
I haven't gotten blocked by somebody, at least not that I'm aware of, like somebody that I've been trying to
You're not using it right. Trying to get blocked. Yeah. You gotta troll people.
Yeah,
I haven't got the chai hand. Anyways, what else, Jeans? What have we got on the deck?
What do we got on deck?
Yeah, do we have any more audio things? I thought
this is. Did you see? Well, Aaron Hernandez got arrested. You saw that, right?
No, who's that?
The Patriots. Tight end.
Oh, they did arrest him for this murder thing.
He got and he got released by the Patriots. Did you see that a few weeks ago? Chad Johnson was in court. And he was...
is that Ocho Cinco?
Yes, Ocho Cinco.
I actually know that.
Yeah. So he was in court. Wow. Do you know about this?
When he headbutted his girlfriend or whatever?
Well, he was in, in court about probation for that.
Okay.
And he was granted probation. And then the judge was like, you know, you got an awesome lawyer. And he was like, yeah. She's like, you know, you should be really thankful. He's the one who got you just probation instead of jail time. And he did that thing in sports, you know, where you smack your teammate's butt.
He still slapped his lawyer on the ass?
Yeah. And the lawyer didn't find, or the judge didn't find it very funny. Here's the audio of that.
Are you satisfied with the assistance of your attorney?
He's awesome.
Okay. You should be. He's an excellent attorney. He did a great job for you, sir. Okay. Do you have any questions of Mr. Swickle? Do you have any questions for him?
That's people laughing right there, and she didn't know if she was reading when she looked up and everyone's laughing.
Show me a plea form entitled plea of violation of probation waiver of rights form. Did you read this form?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you sign it?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any questions about it?
No, ma'am.
Mr. Johnson, I don't know that you're taking this whole thing seriously. I just saw you slap your attorney on the backside. Something funny about what's going on here today?
I didn't laugh. No, ma'am.
But the whole courtroom laughed because you just slapped your attorney.
I think he was just happy, Judge.
On the backside.
He understands. He's been understanding this jail sentence has been over his head. And I don't think it was done as any disrespect to the court.
The whole courtroom was laughing because he just slapped you.
I don't think he meant to get a reaction. I know. I don't think he meant to get a reaction from the courtroom, Judge. I think he's just more relieved than it.
I'm not going to accept these plea negotiations. I don't think anything's funny about it, Mr. Johnson. This isn't a joke.
I didn't do it as a joke, man.
Everybody in the courtroom was laughing. I'm not accepting these plea negotiations. Let's go forward with the final hearing.
Just gonna have a break and recall.
She had him taken away in cuffs.
Yes.
Taken to jail.
No shit.
That's a
Did they go back on that, or she held to it?
She held to it. He went to jail.
Wow. Yeah. Lesson learned, dude.
Just don't do anything.
Fucks with
she's
each other.
She was crazy. I think she's like a little over the top. But
a lot of judges are like that though.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've seen that. Have you seen the Cuban one?
No.
Oh. The Cuban one is the best. It's a Cuban judge, and let me see if I can find it real quick.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean,
I don't tolerate that.
You, I think, like, you probably just see so many. First of all, you're letting a celebrity off with like a deal.
Oh, dude,
who's rich? And you already probably feel like kind of a fucking piece of shit because you know you've let other people off with like not let people off with worse lawyers.
Oh yeah.
And then for them to also do something, I just think, you know what? Fuck this. Like, why?
It gets so unbelievable.
He's also such a fucking idiot. That guy. It's like,
oh my god, dude. He is kind of a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
He changed his name to a number.
That's but he's constantly being disruptive, and he's constantly being an asshole, right? Did you find it, Tommy?
Yeah. Well, in Minnesota, you're being charged with possession of Xanax.
Possession of Xanax.
I don't know what that is.
Xanax.
Really hot girl next to her.
That's the girl who's charged.
All right. I understand you're eligible for hotel service.
Yes. No objection. She has no priors. She's being charged per pill, which is improper. It should just be one count.
Ms. Soto, are you working?
Yes.
How much money are you making a week, approximately?
Approximately about $200 a week.
Okay, and do you own any property of value, a house, a car, bank account, significant amounts of jewelry?
Yes.
What do you own?
I own a lot of jewelry, all right, okay. As well as
go ahead.
A car.
Well, how much would you say your jewelry is worth? It's not a joke, you know. We are not in a club now.
Okay, but it's, you know,
we are not in a club. Be serious about it.
I'm serious about it. You just made me laugh.
I can see you're serious, all right.
You just made me laugh. I apologize.
It's all right. How much is your jewelry worth?
It's worth a lot of money.
Like what?
Like Rick Ross.
Huh?
Oh, okay.
It's worth money.
Have you had any kind of drugs in the last 24 hours?
Actually, no.
Actually, no?
Judge, I'll make it easy for the court, respectfully. I'll accept the appointment at this time.
No, I'm going to appoint you because you own a lot of substantial amounts of jewelry. You can go and sell your jewelry for a private attorney. What is the standard bond?
She's, so the whole time that this is going on, she's laughing, like, hysterically.
Oh, my life.
And, like, covering her mouth. And this is in court. Like, you do not.
And, like, stroking her hair. Like,
yes.
She's high. She's just loaded.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, $5,000
on count one. And then the rest should be ROR.
Okay, so judge is filling out paperwork. The girl is still, like, putting her hand to her mouth. Thinks it's fun.
Because she has no power.
Count one would be $5,000 for our cost found. Count two would be ROR.
This is requesting ROR on count 2 through 26.
And refer to division 51.
Okay. Everything seems cool, right? She's going to get out of here. Jeans?
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Adios.
So, right then, she said adios
right
to the judge with the Spanish accent.
Oh, no.
So,
is she not Hispanic?
I don't know. I don't,
she doesn't sound.
There wasn't a very authentic goodbye.
Adios.
Yeah.
Come back, ma'am. Come back.
Uh-oh.
Come back.
Come back. Give me the paper again. Count one would be $10,000.
Just doubled it.
Are you serious?
I am serious. Adios.
Oh, snap.
Oh, yeah, I have that. Mm-hmm. Classic. What a fucking
Then
idiot.
She flicked them off.
Come
right
back
now.
Back again.
Now she just flicked them off.
Come back again. Mm-hmm. Bring her back again.
What's up?
I believe
What's
I up? Heard you saying to...
Yes, I did. I'm not going to
the... I believe you... Did you say...
Fuck you.
Actually,
did you say that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you did say that? I find you in direct criminal contempt. 30 days in the county jail.
Wow.
Whoa.
You know what a fuck up you gotta be that you can't get sentenced without fucking it up? I mean, you've already fucked up to get there, and then you can't even get through
that. I love that judge.
It's so bananas. That you would do that in court? You have to be a real retard, man.
Then she went back to court. This is a girl to apologize. The same girl. Like a lot of tears. A lot of tears. With her whole family.
Yes.
Different tone today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I understand completely.
Yeah, well.
Well, no. Mm. Girl, she's fucked up, you guys.
Her you can't. Here's the real lesson. Whenever you're dealing with like cops or anybody, a judge, it's always better to just be like, yes, sir.
Yeah.
No, okay. So I got a story of, you know, Adam Ray.
Yeah.
Comedian,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we're driving up to some gig one time, me, him, and Mark Saratella, and this cop pulls us over. It's like an example of like the right and wrong way to handle these situations.
Yeah.
And they're like eating pop brownies, and they're like, I think they're like drinking. I'm not even comfortable with it because I'm in the back. I'm like, you guys,
you're in the car.
Yeah, I'm in the car. And I'm just like, are you guys really just, we have to drive to Yosemite, you know? And this cop pulls us over, and Adam, you know, is a very charming guy. Like, he's just kind of like, he's kind of nice looking. He just sort of like is good with people. And the cop, and Adam somehow charms this cop. He's just sort of like, oh, officer, we're comedians, and you want to hear it? And the cop's telling, all of a sudden telling us jokes, yada, yada. And they let him go. And I was like, that's unfucking believable. I've never seen anybody do that. Then the next day, the club booker, this guy John Fox, I don't know if you know him, but he's a guy who books like some gigs in Seattle and San Francisco, really like abrasive, you know, big guy. And he picks me up at the gig, taking me to a different gig. And a cop pulls him over. And immediately he's like, oh, come on. I wasn't even, I was going like 56. And the cop like gives him like an $800 ticket. And I was like, it's amazing. That was like such an example of the right and wrong way to handle this shit.
My my cousin's a cop in Vegas. And he was like, it's either officer or sir. Like, you know, I don't take any of that shit. Dude or hey, man. He's like, immediate fucking shutdown. Yeah. And he even said that, like, you know, he'll ask people if like he smells weed, like, you got a joint on you. It's like people will be like, yeah, I got a joint. He'll take the joint and like throw it on the ground, whatever. But if they go, no, I don't have a joint, and then he finds a joint, he's like, I'll fucking arrest him, bring him in, just for like fucking with him.
Yeah.
I hate that shit.
I got a $1,500 ticket one time from a cop.
What? $1,500?
Yeah, because I was driving. I hadn't renewed my insurance. I didn't have my license on me. I didn't have my insurance on me. No, I had insurance, but I didn't have it on me, and I hadn't re-registered my car. I hadn't renewed it, and I was speeding. Mm. So somehow the guy was just like, and I don't think I mishandled it, but he was just like, fuck this guy. And I remember him saying to me, he's like, I would put down more because your taillight's out, but I can't fit it on the ticket.
Oh, my God.
He was like, I'm driving a 2000 Corolla. Oh, where is the spike?
Christ, man.
Get your life.
Get your life.
I said, adios, motherfucker.
Adios. Momendel, thank you so much.
Yeah,
for
thanks
coming.
For coming. Where can everybody find all your stuff? Momendel.com?
Momendel.com and at Momendel.
And at?
I'm going to be starting up one of these podcasters myself.
Oh, yeah, so. Do it. So much fun. You're going to love it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We love it, man.
I just have to get a wife so I can do it with.
There you go.
Get a wife, man.
That's what's up.
Get a wife or get your life.
You better get your life.
Get your life, man.
Follow us. I'm at Christina P. Tommy is at Tom Segura. Go to your mom's house podcast.com.
And then what? Somebody sent in... Jeremy, Ratliff sent in a song called "Mommy Jeans."
Oh, okay, let's hear it.
Here we go.
Nice
thanks for coming, Mo. Thanks a lot.
Thanks
thank you, Mo.
And we'll see you guys again in a couple days.
Bye, mommies. Bye.